So a few weeks ago, I guess, I don't remember when that was. It was a few weeks back when I spoke last, I think, in here on a Sunday. We began 1 Corinthians. We did a little introduction to 1 Corinthians, describing that city, the people in that city, how we are much like Corinth. Right? A city full of sin, but yet we are saints. We have been called to be saints, and God has a special calling for each one of us. And He has a special task He wants each one of us specifically to fulfill. And it's really great how this book is for us as well. So we are going to continue in our study here in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to pick up on the next few verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. It's really interesting how God does things and leads, because the morning message really fits in really nicely with what we're going to go on. It's almost like a connection here, a little somewhat different, but somewhat similar. So it must be something we need to hear and to listen and to get and to understand if we're hearing some similar truths in the morning and in the afternoon and so forth. So now is a really good time for us to turn on our listening ears, right? Don't tune out already. If you came in already tuned out, no good. If I start to lose you, I mean, we just had like a little bagel, so you shouldn't be too sleepy from the lunch, you know. It's not like years ago when we used to have the buffet lunch and everyone was easily falling asleep. So let's not tune out that way either. Let's try to listen, because if we're hearing something similar in two services in the same day, there must be something God wants to change or to prepare us for in the future. Maybe it's something that we're going to have to face. So let's listen intently. But before we look into His Word, let's pray. And we want to ask Him to speak to our hearts. God, we want You to open our hearts this afternoon. We want to hear from You. We want You to touch us. May we listen intently. God, we want to be ready to do whatever You might show us to do from Your Word. I thank You for the word we heard this morning, that we need to love others. And I'm glad that it's not a feeling, because I don't always have those feelings. But Lord, I'm really glad that You are the one who's always, always loving. And You can love through us, because I know I don't have it in myself. I am not long-suffering at all. And I am not always remaining kind. And I do ask that we would listen to what else You have for us, and You would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's highly possible you don't remember what we covered the last time I spoke, since you've all probably slept since then. But I think we covered about the first 9 verses. And really one thing that we talked about was God's calling. We are called to, and just like Paul was specifically called to be an apostle, each of us, God is called to be something, to do something, to serve in a certain capacity. But God has given grace, over and abundant grace, that we need. Grace be unto you, He said in verse 3. And then He says that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance, in all speech, and in all knowledge. God's grace was so poured out upon these people and upon this church. They were given everything they needed. They just had to act upon it. They had to take it. But God has given them what they needed to build up and to grow them as a church. God has poured it out. So, let's not forget God's grace when we come to verse 10. So this is where we're going to look today. Verse number 10 down through 16. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul's writing to this church, and here's the exhortation that he has to give these people. And when you read the letter to Corinthians, you see this church had some problems. They had some issues. And one of the issues that they had was the relationship between people in their church. And he's writing to exhort them. Hey, my brothers. He is their brother. And they are brothers and sisters. Now, it's Father's Day. And so you would almost be like, well, you know, there hasn't really been a message about fathering. So we'll try to tie it in to how to apply to fathers or to family. But really, we are a family. Our church is a family. We are brothers and sisters. And here Paul is writing to his brothers and sisters in this specific church. And he's exhorting them. And here's what he tells them. I am telling you, you all need to first agree. You all need to be in agreement. And that's what he said here in verse 10. Brethren, I'm beseeching you, I'm exhorting you, I'm imploring you, I'm begging you that you all speak the same thing. That you're all in agreement together. This church had some problems. And it's explained down here in the next few verses. How did he know what's going on? How was Paul aware of their sinfulness and what's taking place? It says in verse 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren." Oh, here he is. He's using them, that brethren again. "By them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." There's some quarreling going on. Some fighting. Some strife. Now, it's not something that you want your church to be known for. And here, something that's being reported of the church is that there's strife. It's not like, you know, you have somebody and another person, there's a little disagreement and nobody knows about it. It is well known in the church that there is some strife between different groups, different people. And he explains it even further. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you says," you're right, they're starting to pick men leaders that they're following. "Well, I'm of Paul." Well, not me. I'm following Apollos. And me, I'm following Cephas. I'm doing with him. "And I of Christ." Now, Paul wants to nip that right in the bud really quickly and first declare, Christ is it. That is it. So here's the problem. You have these people picking their follower or their leader. Well, this person does it this way. I like the way they say this, or I like the way they're doing that. Well, I'm going to follow that one. I'm not going to listen to this guy. I'm not going to do what this one's saying. I'm going to do only what this one's saying. And so they're starting to pick these favorites, these leaders that are their favorites. And they're following them. And so Paul has to say, listen, you guys need to be in agreement together. You need to say the same thing. You need to speak the same thing. You need to be agreeing on something together. Because this quarreling you guys got going on is not acceptable. Our Father wants His home, His family, let's say, to be unified. That is our Father's desire. Now, I'm hoping this isn't the case, but given the fact that we're a bunch of humans, have you ever had strife in your house? You ever had quarreling? Has there ever been a time when there wasn't perfect harmony and unity in your house? Yes? This morning? When you're right now? There ever been a moment where your home is not all unified on the same terms? Right? Our Father wants His family to be unified. Not divided, not fighting. My kids fight. Believe it or not, my kids fight. And more times than not, it is about, can I use this word? Dumb stuff. Insignificant. Doesn't matter. Dumb stuff. Do you know what believers fight over so many times? Dumb stuff. The devil loves it when believers are fighting, especially over dumb things that don't matter. And Paul is saying, you know what you guys are known for? My brothers, all of you are my brothers. He didn't just write to the ones saying, hey, the ones that are of Paul, my brothers, and the rest of you, right? Hey, my brothers, God wants us all to be in agreement. And you know how that works? How we can all be in agreement? It's when, as Paul is saying, is Christ divided? You guys are picking all these different leaders. Whoa. There's one leader all of us need to be focused on. And that leader is Jesus the Messiah. Now, when all of us are focused on Him and Him alone, we should therefore be unified because He's not changing. He's always the same. His commands to all of us are always the same. That will make us unified. As soon as we start picking sides, picking teams, right? Well, I want this one. Well, then that one and that one aren't getting along. So if I'm with that one and this one, then he's not going to like that. So I guess I got to not like them too. Doesn't work that way. But if all of us are looking at the one true leader, then we are unified. And so Paul is saying, look, we need to be in agreement. And that is us all looking to Jesus, being unified because we're looking at the same leader. Get your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at me. I'm nothing. Don't look at Apollos. He's nothing. Don't look at Cephas. He's nothing. Let's look at Jesus. So, I exhort you, my brothers, be in agreement. Second, that ye all, that ye all speak the same thing, that you're in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you. Now, that's a command we are given. So if you know of a division, you got to get it right. Word division, a schism. All right? There's a faction going on. Some people aren't getting along. They're disagreeing about something. And God is saying, you need to get rid of that. Get rid of it. You know there's a problem? Get rid of it. Approach the problem the way God has given. I messed up. I need to go to the other person and get it right. They messed up. I need to humbly approach them to let them know something that they did. That bothered me. And when somebody asks for forgiveness, we forgive. If somebody refuses to ask for forgiveness, we apply this morning's message. We love and pray. Once again, like we heard this morning, it is not a feeling. My feelings might be saying, I want to trip you when I see you. That's a feeling. Loving is not sticking my foot out when they walk by, right? It's not based on that feeling. God wants us to get right. It's really common sense as parents. When you have the kids fighting, what do? You address this kid, you address this kid, and you tell them, hug each other. Do they feel like hugging each other? Not a chance. Do you tell them to hug each other? Yeah. Why? Because you're not letting that little strife continue in your home. You guys better get over this and you better hug. Shouldn't we as adults do the same thing? Get over the fighting over dumb things and make up and hug. Get over it. There should not be any divisions among you. And it is prevalent in that church. Prevalent. Make up and hug. Then he says, the last part of his exhortation in verse 10, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Agree. Don't be divided. But come and be complete and perfectly joined, completely together, all in the same mind and judgment. You guys are viewing things correctly as a whole because you're looking at Jesus. You're judging things correctly as a whole because you're looking at Jesus. Look, there are, I don't know how many people are in here. Let's throw 50. 50 people in here. There are 50 different opinions about so many things. Well, I think we should do this, and I think it should be applied this way, and I think we should do... And then you even get into like a spiritual level. Well, I don't really think you should do this. And I'll make up something ridiculous. All right. Well, I don't know if this is ridiculous, but maybe somebody says, well, you have to do devotions in the morning. You have to spend time with God in the morning. And it has to be at least 30 minutes reading and 45 minutes praying. If you don't, you're not walking with the Lord. I'm just making this up. Well, so-and-so does theirs at night. How ridiculous is that? Right? Well, my opinion is you got to do it in the morning. Somebody else is a night person. And they're like, no way. Morning time, I'm getting nothing. Nighttime is when I thrive. And that's when I get it. Right? There's a different opinion. But it's nothing. It's nothing destroying us. Somebody is able to focus and concentrate in the morning. Somebody else is able to focus and concentrate at night. We have different opinions about things. Don't let different opinions about little things divide us and cause a schism. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. But I think we're oftentimes just like Corinth. God has to come to us and say, hey, don't let that division be there. What are you doing? You guys need to be in agreement. Somebody does something. I've probably done it to all of you. Something that you didn't like. I probably said something. I probably acted a certain way. I don't know. I picked my nose and you saw it. I don't know. But there are things that we do or say That is offensive. Oh, well, that bothered me. And then we hold the grudge. We become bitter. And it causes a division between us as brother and sister. Now, there are some silly things that maybe we just need to let go. Other things, maybe it's a little more serious. We need to approach the person and talk to them. But we need to get it right. And so Paul is exhorting them, guys, act like brothers and sisters. I want us to look over to the book of James. James chapter 4. We're going through the book of James in youth group. We haven't made it to chapter 4 yet, but if they listen today, then we won't have to do the first part of chapter 4 on a Wednesday night. But if they don't listen today, they'll have to listen to this again. So James is writing to these Jewish believers. And here he says in chapter 4, From where come wars and battles, fightings among you? He asks a question after that question. Come they not hence? Don't they come even of your lusts that war in your members? There's a war, and then there's battles, right? A war is made up of a bunch of different battles. So where do these wars come from? And all these extra fightings, all these battles that make up the war. Where's all of that coming from? Oh, does it not come from you and your own lusts? Your own selfishness? Well, why is there division in our church? Why is there a problem between people? Why are there fightings going on among our brothers and sisters? Is it not because of our selfishness? And he's addressing that. And he says, you lust, you crave, you want, but you don't have. You kill and you desire to have, but you cannot obtain it. You battle, you fight, and you war, yet you have not because you don't ask. But even if you go beyond and you start asking, verse 3, you ask and you don't receive. Why? Because you're asking amiss. You're asking incorrectly because you're being selfish, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You're so greedy, so self-centered, your prayers are only for your self-centered requests and desires. That's where all this fighting's coming from. It's coming from us. And us being so focused on us. Well, I deserve this. I should be treated this way. I shouldn't be spoken to like that. And so, there's now an offense because we're looking at ourselves being the one who is to be exalted. I mean, we're exalting us. Shouldn't everybody else? We are so focused on us, and that's where the strife, the battle, the war comes from. It comes from us. Oh, they put me down? They criticize me? Oh, well, I don't like being down here. I got to bring them down. So we cut them with our tongue to bring them down so we can be a little higher. Put it away. It's coming from your own lusts. And here's what it is in verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What is worldliness? What is friendship with the world? Being so self-centered, so selfish. That's what the world is. the world is only focused on themselves. And we act just like the world when we lived focused on ourselves. That's being worldly. Now it's displayed by actions about how we talk, how we live our lives, what we do with our time and our energy. But worldliness is living for ourselves selfishly. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, chasing after those things. And here's where the worldliness is taking place in our hearts. Then what should our response be? I see, you know what? There's division. You know what? There's strife. There's some fighting going on, some wars going on. What should our response be? Verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Amen? There's the grace of God available to us. I want this division to be healed. I want the strife to go away. We got to go at that grace that God has, that he's handing out to us. We got to take it. He gives more grace than there is of sin and strife and contention. You think there's some deep bitterness? You think there's some deep anger? You think there's a strife and contention that can't be resolved? God gives even more grace than that. Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. What do we need? We need to humble ourselves before God because we need him. And we need to take that grace. When we're trying to fix the problems on our own, it's not going to work. When we're just like this morning, we're trying to love on our own, it's not going to work. It's humbling ourselves before God and taking his grace to heal this problem. God, I need your grace to forgive so-and-so. What they did to me was horrible. What they said to me cuts me. I can't stand to look at them. He gives more grace than that problem. He can give enough grace for you to forgive and to let it go. He can give somebody enough grace to not live the way they were living. Right? Somebody does something and offends you, well, you need the grace to forgive them. They need God's grace to stop living that way. But thankfully, God gives more of the grace. All we need to do is humble ourselves before him and by faith take that grace that he's giving us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. So what's my response to this issue of strife? What should the church of Corinth, what should the church in Brooklyn do when there's this strife and contention? We need to humble ourselves before God and take that grace that he's giving. That's the answer. That's the solution. You got any problems? You got any fighting? Any strife? Anybody coming to mind? Humble yourself in the sight of God. He will give you the grace to heal that division. Let's pray. God, we thank you very much for the grace that you give. I'm glad that it says you give more grace. Grace is far greater than any sin that's in our own lives. Your grace is greater than any difficulty that we might face. You give more grace to cover that. Lord, the problem is our arrogant hearts, our self-centered hearts. Help us to be humble before you, to see that we're not number one. We need you to change us, and we want the cleansing we need. We want the healing that we need, that we would be a body who is unified and in agreement with the same mind, with the same judgment. Lord, only you can do that in this church, and we want you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.